This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
All right, man. Quick 2 hours halfway home here on a Thursday. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Our beloved Benny. Be careful, Benny, if you're listening. Driving up to the Thousand Oaks area. Decent little shaker this morning up there. I saw some TV show they were recording, and everything started to shake in there. So be careful. What's the aftershocks? Wouldn't that be perfect for Ben to go up there? They're like, sorry, bro, the hotel's, we're shut, it's on lockdown. Like,
that's just structural damage.
Yeah, structural damage. Just would be the worst. Going on vacation.
Dang it.
It's always that anxiety before vacation. You're like, am I going to fall and break my hip before I leave for Hawaii? You know what I mean? Like, I'm like super careful. Fantasy camp may be the worst of all time.
Yeah.
When I am gearing up for fantasy camp, it's around the holidays, and I'm like, I don't want to drive anywhere. I don't want to do anything that could potentially get me hurt so that I don't get to go to fantasy camp. I mean, I won't leave the house, Paulie. I'm like that on every vacation, though. Thanks for listening, Ben and Woods, 97.3. The Fan. Benny is out on his way up to L.A. for a little golf excursion with his buddy. Paulie, it's me and Paulie hanging out. Paulie going to be the birthday boy on Saturday. Happy early birthday. I'm sure I will shower you with adulation and cash and whatever else you need. If you missed that segment, we did it in the 6 o'clock hour where I'm a little spun out because I don't know what I need to do tomorrow, what Paulie expects from me, you know, for a Friday birthday celebration.
Well, I'll think about it.
All right, you think about it.
Tomorrow.
I'll text your wife, and we'll get into that. But it's also a throwback Thursday. We go back into the Ben and Woods annals and archives and find some things that happened. And I would say that this is a pretty monumental day in Ben and Woods history.
Yeah, this week, September of 2020. I don't know if this was a Rinder Report story or Don't Do This.
I think we just found it.
I think we just found it.
And played it.
We love good radio audio.
Yeah.
And we had two radio hosts. They have a show, had a show together in Houston. I don't remember the station, but one of the guys' name was Jason Braddock. We actually ended up tracking him down. We had him on the show.
Yeah, he's great.
Several times. And they had a hot mic. I don't know if it was a hot mic or if I think the producer was just
producer
recording.
Was recording throughout the
they went to a commercial
break.
It
would be like you could do that. You could set up something to record us, and you could hear our combos between breaks.
So they were doing a segment. They got into it a little bit with each other, and then they went to break, and the argument didn't just continue. It ramped up.
No, and actually, some of this, I believe, was on the air, if I'm not mistaken. But these two guys got after it.
Was that supposed to be funny?
Yes, it's hilarious. Shut up crying and keeping this going on and just do the show.
I'm waiting for the punchline. It's supposed to be something.
Oh, good God, you're a child, man. Quit being petty and do the show. The radio, the show sounds horrible right now.
You're right, it does. And you're talking segment. About being petty when you just checked out of a show.
Listen,
for an entire segment.
No, I started doing the research you asked me to do
during the last segment.
No, you asked me.
I'm sitting here talking to you, and you're like, huh, what? You don't even have your microphone
on. I'm not going to sit here. It's already been two segments of horrible. If you want me to leave, I'll cut off the mic, and I'll leave. Just do the show. It sounds horrible.
Hey, I'll do the show. You
thank
you. We're good.
Okay.
God. Dude, it could have stopped right
there. Could have stopped right there. It's done.
But no.
They kept it rolling.
As men tend to do in fights, they keep going.
Dude, that's
dude, do the show. You're still crying. Do the show. I've already cut off the mic.
Do the show. You're not paying attention. Go do what you're doing. Go have a good time.
Good God, man.
You know, go do whatever the hell you're doing.
Man.
It doesn't matter.
Well, do the show. Quit being a bitch.
Whatever. I'm the one doing the show. You're the one checking out. Have a good day. See you.
Go on, deuce. Do the show, bitch.
Boom.
You're acting like a little bitch on this, dude. That's the most embarrassing radio I ever did. You act like a little bitch right there.
And are you
asked
not
me
part
for
of
the numbers. I started giving you the
don't
numbers.
And
I want to yell at you because you're acting like a bitch today. We're live on air and you're acting like a bitch.
Well, you're acting like a
dude.
This Houston, I get a lot of New York vibes, though, from both of them, at least. One of them.
It happens. It happens. You're in here and you want it to be great.
Day, see you.
Go on, deuce. Do the show, bitch.
Jason Braddock, man, was just like, man, you asked me to get numbers. So I'm pulling up the numbers, but you're also continuing to talk to me while you've asked me to pull up those numbers, and then you're going to call me out for not paying attention. And it's just, you can totally see it happening after a while. It is frustrating. Ben knows I get frustrated with him when he just glosses over, just stares off into this, or he's on his phone. That's the one that gets me.
Yeah.
The phone gets me with Benny, and he knows that. I was like, hey, and you see him. And now with the YouTube feed, you can watch him go like this. His head's down, and we're on the air, and I'm talking, and I stop, and he just goes, and then puts his heads up, like, where am I? So he's not a great multitasker, which
anyways,
is fine.
Tune in to Sammy Levitt tonight.
Like, yeah, so, Paulie, I can literally have a conversation with you, and I can text you at the exact same time that I'm having a conversation with you. I can text you on your phone and continue to talk about what's going on in the world of sports as I send you a text. No problem. Not even going to know it's happening. But, yeah, you can see those guys.
I can open up my phone as we're sitting here talking about Throwback Thursday, September of 2020. Jason Braddock. Oh, there's Woodsy's text.
Yep.
Hi.
Hi. Right. There it is. I mean,
right
it
back
is.
While I'm talking, I say, hey there.
So he said, Satan's Blowfish says, the dude is being super effing annoying. How do you not respond in kind to this? I don't know which one. I think it's probably the guy, the not Jason Braddock. The not, I think it's the other guy. And I don't know who I am in that scenario.
Do the show. You're still crying. And do the show. I've already cut off the mic.
Do the show. You're not paying attention. Go do what you're doing. Go have a good time.
Because I can see myself saying that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I could also see myself screaming.
So Jason Braddock, the one that says do the show, bitch, he's the one that was trying to look up the numbers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do the show. You're still crying. And do the show. I've already cut off the mic.
Do the show. You're not paying attention. Go do what you're doing.
I really can. I can.
Because he's like, bro, you asked me to look something up. Like, just roll for like 30 seconds.
Bam, bam, bam.
Do the show, bitch.
Do the show, bitch. It's the best. It's the best. So those guys, they are no longer a show.
And, no, and I don't think it, I actually don't think it had anything to do with that. I think they actually did a show for like another year or two together.
I don't think it was two. I think it was, I want to say it was like 6 months because we had him on and he was really nice and we asked, can we sell shirts? He said, sure, I don't care.
Yeah.
He did not parlay that into anything. He could have had like the Do the Show Bitch podcast, like the Hawk Tua girl.
Yes. Hawk Tua.
He did not.
Do the podcast, bitch.
Dude, that's it. He did not parlay this thing. He did not parlay this thing at all. Maggie nails it here in the chat. She says, Ben is a planner. He's always thinking about what's coming next. Always waiting to talk instead of I'm going to answer the question or I'm going to ask a question. It is. It's always planning the next move. And that's, listen, but the chemistry, you know, still very strong in here. I don't think we would ever get to that point. I would get to that point. He would never get to that point of like, just do what you got to do. What else you got, Paulie?
Well, while we're on the subject of Ben, one reason we'll keep him around is because when one of the many reasons why we'll keep him around is, well, when Ben breaks and starts laughing, it's just one of the best.
So endearing, dude.
Such a funny, you can't hear it and not smile. And we had an epic Breaking Ben moment on the same day, actually, but a year later.
The same day? Oh, a year
September
later.
September 15th, 2021.
Got it.
And all the title is, says Ben loses it during Insperity reads. So
I
listened to this yesterday. I have no idea what set him off. I don't know if it was context from the segment beforehand. I don't have that. But if you listen to us on the radio or on the app especially, you'll hear when we go to break, we'll play traffic, and then we have live reads
right
for a minute and a half or whatever. So that's what Ben was doing. He was trying to do a read for Insperity.
He got the giggles.
And he got the giggles.
I don't remember.
Bad.
This. Hey, good morning. Happy birthday to Hannah Nancaro Woods. Ben Higgins here, telling you about Insperity. Hannah's a business owner. She's feeling boxed in by the pressures of running that business, getting pulled in different directions with remote work.
I started laughing.
Remote workforces, HR compliance. Stop laughing. Hiring and retaining top talent. Change.
You're getting me so good right now.
Sorry. There we go. Paul, we'll get, can we get back? Can we get back to this in just a minute?
Oh, no. I forgot
He's
this.
Gone.
Insperity HR that makes a difference.
was the whole spot.
Insperity paid money for that live read where he barely talks about what they do.
He gave it about
14 seconds, maybe?
14 seconds of copy before he lost it. And then we had to, I do remember, he couldn't do it. He had another minute or so to read about Insperity and why you should join Insperity and work with Insperity. He just couldn't get to it. He finally, we just pushed it, let him recover, and then like the next break,
he did it again.
He did it again.
Oh my God. I don't, what the hell got him?
I don't
what got
know.
Me? I
was talking about Hannah and running a business, and then you must have said or
laughed,
done something off the air.
Vince here telling you about Insperity. Hannah's a business owner. She feeling boxed in by the pressures of running that business, getting pulled in different directions with remote work. Remote workforces, HR compliance.
I don't know what got him, dude. I do Sorry. Not I do not know.
We'll get, can we get
that's one of the best ones we ever had.
That's a really good
that
one.
That is a really good one, dude. Oh. That's my favorite. When he loses it, there's nothing that makes me happier. I mean, I like a Padres win like the next guy. You know what I mean? But when Ben Higgins loses it, it just delights me to know.
We talked about it on Monday. We started the show asking him how his weekend was. He had to put Reggie down,
yeah.
and he got emotional.
Yeah.
And it kind of freaks us out.
Yeah,
it's jarring to see Ben show emotion.
Yes.
And that's one side of it. The other side of the spectrum is laughing. And he doesn't even show funny emotions a
yeah.
lot.
No
so
kidding.
When he loses it, I mean, crying, laughing, can't breathe, coughing, falls out of his chair, it really stands out.
Somebody said it's contagious. When Ben starts laughing, it's contagious. It just kills me every single time. When I'm able to break him, it just gets me, man. Those are two of my favorite clips. I mean, just incredible clips that Paulie found for a throwback Thursday.
Oh,
we got Parker McCollum tickets coming up. We're going to give those away in the next segment. You want to call now, 833-288-0973, and we'll hook you up with tickets to Parker McCollum, just a pair of tickets for you, and I'm going to get the details on that. This is what Ben is also very good at that I'm not.
It's right there on the rundown. Bet you can find it.
Hang on. Bear with me.
Do the show, bitch.
I can't find
Just read the copy.
All it says
I'm asking you to read the
Parker
copy.
McCollum
Just read
tickets.
The copy.
That's all it says. Parker McCollum tickets. That's all I got.
Keep scrolling down. You know what? I'll do it. On the second page in the purple, bold, Parker McCollum tickets. Call now. For a pair of tickets to Parker McCollum at Cal Coast
Credit
Union Open Air
Theater. October 25th. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Boom.
Thank you.
Great Stereophonics from Wales. Welsh Friars tour has ended. Did you see that? It was at the games in Seattle. Our buddy Tom, a huge, huge Tier 1 and a huge Padres fan. You guys heard about the Welsh Friars saga last week. He continued, flew up to Seattle, caught a couple of games. I believe they are 4-3 in the Welsh Friar era. So, you know, brought a little good luck. Got to see a couple of good games.
Did see that one epic game.
Yeah, you saw the epic game.
4-3 is not...
not what you want.
It's okay.
This time of year, Paulie.
If you believe in superstitions, Tom, safe travels back.
Yeah, safe travels back, buddy. And, you know, listen, if he lands in Wales and they start playing like they were before he got here, you know, that would be good. But, listen, we did not kiss the roach this morning. I don't know how to feel about the Rally Roach. Right now, still a very good record, so I will give it some sugars, and we'll see what happens. I've got for you guys a pretty interesting. Well, no, let's do the request. We got a couple of requests. It's loose. When Ben's not here, we don't really have to stay on track. We can kind of do what we want. And Diego in the chat wanted to hear the voice of God, who is our voice guy. You guys have heard him. We're going to have Eno Saris coming up next, one of the greatest flubs in Ben and Woods history.
Yes.
Eno Harris, son of a bitch.
We were playing a clip last week
yeah.
of the voice guy just ruining my day, taking forever
yeah.
to cut one simple liner. And we had talked about a clip that we played in April.
He
could not say Annie Heilbrun's name right.
Could not say it.
And we said we would find it, track down the audio. We actually never ended up getting back
to it.
So Diego's
yeah.
losing his mind in our chat right now. He's like, please, please, I'm begging you, please, please play that clip. It was so funny. So here it is.
We're here to please, man. That's what we're here to
do. It's actually pretty timely because with Ben was leaving that weekend – for something.
Weird.
I don't remember where he was going in April, but he was leaving. And so we had to make a new open for the roundtable that said hosted by Annie Heilbrun.
That's right.
Not hosted by Ben Higgins. And that's what led to this.
Alongside Stephen Woods, Craig Elston, Chris Hello, and Sam Levitt, here's your host, Annie Heilbrun. Heilbrun. Yeah, what am I saying? God, Jesus. Heilbrun. How you doing? Here's your host, Annie Heilbrun. Heilbrun. Here's your host, Annie Heilbrun. Here's your host, Annie. Annie Heilbrun. Sorry.
And as I've told you in the past, like, he sends me this long ass. Yeah,
thank God. Thank God for it.
I get the whole thing.
Good. That's good. I hate that it's extra work. No, listen.
It's like a 9-minute file for a 20-second liner.
I hate that it's extra work for you. I do. That said, we would miss out on all of it. If he cut that and dumped it in the trash,
and just
we wouldn't get
product,
it. He just gave you the finished product. It would be the worst.
Got to start over. I'll do it one more time. Here's your host, Annie Heilbrun. Heilbrun. Here's your host, Annie Heilbrun. Brun. Annie Heilbrun. Me, Jesus. Here's your host, Annie Heilbrun. 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 That might be it. It's that time, Friar Faithful. Time to discuss everything going on with the Padres. We've gathered the entire 97.3 The Fan crew together to bring you the most in-depth discussion on the Friars in our weekly Padres Roundtable. Presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. Alongside Stephen Woods, Craig Elston, Chris Ello, and Sam Levitt, here's your host, Annie Heilbrun. Jesus. Here's your host.
Bro.
What the hell? I got a truck backing up. Here's your host, Annie Heilbrun. Here's your host, Annie Heilbrun. Here's your host, Annie Heilbrun.
Nailed it.
Okay.
That is, now I've forgotten how to say her name. I don't know how to say it after listening to him fumble around with it, but he is obviously he's a pro. And
oh,
again, I am sorry that he sends all of that, but I'm not. It's so good. It is so, so good. Annie hates that, somebody said in the chat. Annie, I'm sorry.
Oh, I hope not.
I didn't mean to relive, you know, a memory that you didn't like.
Nobody has ever said my last name right on the first try. It takes them.
Rindell?
Rindell. Rendell. Randall.
I get Wood. Randall. Scott Wood is something I've been called in my past as well. So there you go. Diego, hope glad we can make you.
Any other requests?
I got one this morning. Somebody asked me right out of the chute if I would do for Ben my Michael McDonald. And they said since Ben is out, they wanted me to do I keep forget not in love anymore. I keep forget things will never be the same again. I keep forget. So there you go. Another request knocked out by you guys. So we will be back very shortly. We're going to have Eno Saris coming up next. I do have for you guys, I want to try to put your mind at ease. I just saw this on MLB.com. Which of these struggling contenders should be most worried? Where do the San Diego Padres fall in this group of seven? You want the answer now?
Kind of. We got a couple minutes.
Yeah. They're not on the list, Paulie. They're not even on the list. They rank them.
List of contenders to be worried about?
Yes. Which of these struggling contenders should be most worried? Written by Will Leach. You know, listen, says a lot of these, everybody knows, it looks like we're not going to have a 100-win team for the first time in a full season since 2014. Many reasons for that. None of the teams that were great over the first half have been very good in the second half. Padres have been a little different. They have actually been good in the second half, but they're talking about team. So the number one team that if you are a fan of the Cleveland Guardians, you should be a little bit more concerned. Not that you're going to make the playoffs, and there's a really good chance that you're still going to win the division, about 85%, 99.9% chance to make the playoffs. But they are their offense is skidding a little bit, led by Stephen Kwan. They've got number two, the Braves. Very impressive that they've even stayed over 500 in the second half. They have had so many injuries, people continuing to drop for that team. So yeah, I don't think that's news to Braves fans. But they, after all their guys got hurt, I don't know how much they were really expecting to contend. It is kind of a miracle that they're still in it. Yeah, but he says 100%. If you're a Braves fan, you are pretty concerned. The Twins were 45-36 in their first 81 games. They are 33-32 since. And Rocco Baldelli is having closed door meetings 3 weeks before the playoffs start. It is he has ripped his team. He said that was an unprofessional series of baseball we just played. I'm not commenting on anything else. I don't think anything else has to be said. So I don't think it's all smiles in Minnesota. The Baltimore Orioles are 32-34 in their second 81 games, in the second part of the season. They have nothing at the back end of their bullpen. They do not know what to do to be able to close out games. The New York Yankees, 32-33 after the first 81 games.
A lot of American League teams.
Los Angeles Dodgers are now, they're 37-28, but they have them sixth on the list. They were 50-31 in the first half, 37-28 since. Right now they said, look, your game one starter is Jack Flaherty. After that, who knows? Yoshinobu Yamamoto looked good in his return, but there's still a lot of questions. But then again, they are the Dodgers. And a lot is expected of the Dodgers. They're expected to win. They were expected to win 115 games this year. That's right. Not going to happen. And then the last one is the Philadelphia Phillies. And again, San Diego Padres not even mentioned in this as a contender to be worried about. Probably because of a strong second half. They have kind of fallen back into that 100-ish mode lately. But again, 3 weeks left in the season, time to turn it around. It did make me feel just a smidge better that they weren't even mentioned on here.
Yeah, we talked about it earlier. We're not smashing the panic button yet.
I'm a 4 of 10, which is a very low number for me.
Yes.
But I saw that. It's reassuring to hear. I was like, oh, God, where are we going to be? And I go, oh, we didn't even make it.
If they were number, like, 2 on that list, that 4 turns into a 6.
That 4 jumps to a 6, thanks to Will Leach's article. But they weren't even mentioned, so maybe it went down to a 3. We will be right back, joined by our beloved Eno Saris from The Athletic, one of the smartest guys in baseball going these days. We'll talk to him about the Padres, everything else going on in the world of baseball, our smart weekly baseball segment with Eno coming up next. Welcome back, Men in Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Always exciting to talk to our pal, Eno Saris. I'm about to hit him up for some recommendations. Going to be going to Oracle Park for the first time tomorrow with my family. Excited for that. Going to go watch the boys
first
play
time.
On the road. Yeah, first
Beautiful
time.
Beautiful stadium.
I saw it from the outside, and it looks incredible, and I will be inside. It's probably going to be butt cold tomorrow.
I was there one time, went to one game. It was the Buster Posey game where he got hurt.
Really?
I was at the game sitting in the left field bleachers.
I
told you. I've said it before.
Yeah, I don't pay attention as much. I just forget things.
It was wild. From way out there, you knew something bad had happened.
That's a big one.
And, that changed the course of baseball.
It really did. It changed the course of baseball history. We'll talk to our pal Eno Saris after a quick check of traffic.
It's time for the super polished, yet to be named Smart Baseball Weekly segment with Eno Harris. Saris, son of a bitch. Brought to you by 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from the ballpark by the bay in Chula Vista. Here's Eno Saris with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, I'm going to be leaning heavily on you this morning, Eno, making my first trek to Oracle Park tomorrow night with the family. And listen, I know that your tastes are a little bit more refined, much like Ben's, but I wanted to get your must-haves at Oracle Park before we get into spin rate and exit velo and all your favorite things to talk about.
So how much beer?
Oh, so here's the thing. I'm going to be with my two little guys. I'll have probably one beer. Oh, no.
Something you can do.
All right, hold on. We're losing you a little bit. There we go.
The cool thing you can do is enter through something called 58 Social, which used to be called the Public House. And it's you can enter through there, and they have some cool appetizers. And if you're at all early, if you're not, you can get a beer in a plastic cup there, and it'll be the best beer selection. It's like a chalkboard beer bar, you know, where they have good options. So that's a good way to enter because it's right there at 3rd and King. It's the way you'd be entering anyway. So you can just enter through that, get your beer in a plastic cup, and go in, you know, to the park that way. So that's the best way to get in. And then once you're in, yeah, there's the garlic fries are the thing that everyone talks about.
Yep.
They're everywhere. You've also got a crazy crab sandwich. That's behind home plate, if I got it right. But that's pretty good. I like the poke bowls. Especially because they're kind of a healthier alternative to some of the stuff that's out there.
I'm not really worried about healthy alternatives, Zeno. I'm on vacation for my wife's birthday. I'm not, you're barking up the wrong tree here, man. Somebody said the caramel corn is, you have to get it. They said they actually give you a fork to eat it. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to grabbing one of those.
I haven't even had that.
Have you not? Oh, man, apparently it's a huge, huge deal. Well, and obviously, a huge, huge series. And, the Padres, They're not stuck in neutral per se. I there's a lot of tired kind of tropes we could throw out about them. Probably not playing their best baseball right now. Certainly a little bit sloppy last night, but also ran up against Brian Woo, who I knew he was good. I guess I didn't realize he was that good for the entire season.
Yeah, he's a really interesting guy because he's one of a handful, maybe about 10. Starting pitchers in baseball that have really above average strong four seamers and two seamers.
Yeah.
So he threw a lot of fastballs last night, but by having both kinds of fastballs and then both being good, he's able to really keep people off balance. And then he has two different breaking balls as well. So it's kind of funny when he came up, there's some that were kind of like, oh, he's fastball slider. And I'm like, yeah, but it's two fastballs and it's two sliders. And he's got great command. So yeah, it was a well pitched game last night. I thought King pitched well enough to win too. But
100%.
Yeah, it was just when you go into Seattle in particular, their park augments strikeouts more than any other park in baseball. So it's not surprising they kind of go in there and strike out and not score as many runs as you expect.
Yeah, which is, again, for the Padres. And again, as good as Woo was, what did he have, six Ks last night? I mean, it wasn't through the roof, but the Padres have been a really, really good team about, they've been putting the ball in play. But it's, sloppy defense last night really burned them. And listen, I like the new lineup. I like Xander sliding back over to short, getting Solano's bat in there. He gives you a really good AB. Luis Arraez, never strikes out, never takes an over, was able to muster up a hit late. And, I'm not super panicked about this team as it stands right now,
No. I think all the pieces are there, and I know that the Mets are coming on strong, but in terms of projections from here on out, the Padres are clearly a better team than the Mets. I think it's actually good news that the Braves are falling back, because supposedly the Braves are a better team on paper too. So I think the Mets, they have, just think about the Mets versus the Padres. The Mets rotation is clearly inferior to the Padres, The Mets bullpen clearly inferior to the Padres. So, to have them beating up on the Braves, that's fine for the Padres. I think they'll make it in, and then it's just a question in the postseason if, sort of everybody's healthy and playing their best ball. I'm happy to see Tatis hit homers and rob homers. I think that's a big part of making this team a more dynamic offense.
There's no question. Talking to Eno Saris here on Ben and Woods this morning, and I saw last night, Benny texted the group chat, and he goes, 115.6 off the bat for Tatis. And then I looked this morning, and that was the fourth hardest home run he's ever hit, which blew me away.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy, when he's locked in, is such a game changer, and it is a joy. And again, doing it with the glove, the play he made the night before when he threw out Polanco trying to stretch a single into a double, the home run he hit, last two nights have been absolute missiles. So to see him coming around, yeah, man, sky's the limit, I think.
Yeah, Manny and him, that's the heart, that's the power. And then, I think AJ, there was an article today by Ken Rosenthal in The Athletic about how this is, AJ's best job of putting together the pieces around, maybe last year was a better team on paper and had more stars or whatever, but this year, it seems like the complementary pieces really work. So if you have Tatis and Manny in the middle of the order providing power, what's the best way to supplement that is actually sort of contact and getting people on base and, you know, putting balls in play when they're on second base and stuff like that. So it's a really nicely put together team.
Talking to our pal Eno Saris here on Ben and Woods this morning. So, Eno, this is a kind of a rambler here, but I'm watching MLB Network yesterday, and it's on, and Dan Plesac's on, and I like Dan Plesac. I liked watching him pitch. I like his commentary. But something caught my ear as I was kind of walking by the television, and he did the thing that a lot of older players do when he says, well, you know, and this is just the state of pitching. Everybody's chasing velo, and everybody's chasing spin, and it kind of stopped me in my tracks, and it hit me, and I went, did guys in the 80s not try to throw harder? Did they not try to spin their curveball more? Why is this consistently, and I know this is true, I know that guys want to throw harder. I know guys want to be able to spin the ball more. Didn't they used to? They also wanted to throw hard back with, like, do we romanticize pitching in the 70s, 80s, and 90s as, oh no, these were all craftsmen that never walked anybody and they just nibbled the corners. They all threw 86. And I'm sitting there going, I vividly remember Doc Gooden reaching back with everything he had to throw 96 when he was 20 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
No, so I mean, it's why every time you put on a broadcast, all you hear is Smoltz or whatever, like, all these guys just chasing the spin and this velo, and I'm like, ah, guys used to always like to throw hard, too. That's never really changed.
Yeah, I think one of the most amazing things about baseball is these equilibriums it finds. I mean, the walk rate in 1986 was 8.8%. The walk rate in 2024 is 8.2%. And in between, it's never been higher than 9.1% or lower than 7.7%. So it's like, okay, you know.
We're romanticizing.
Walk rate.
Yeah, we're just, that's what it is. We did a segment yesterday. What is something that people romanticize but is actually horrible? And I should have said, pitching in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. We romanticize it, but a lot of it was bad pitching.
You know what I would like to say is middle infields of those decades. Because
yes.
I grew up in Atlanta, and we had Jeff Blauser,
yep.
Rafael Belliard, Mark Lemke, and like I do romanticize them because they were like my heroes growing up.
Of course.
But, like, I've looked at their numbers recently and been like, yikes. Like, what? Like, what was I rooting for there, dude?
It just it just blows my mind, and I do understand. And you had the comments from Whit Merrifield last week. You know, guys are just rearing back these days, throwing it as hard as they can. They have no idea where they're going, and I think to myself, if you have no idea where the ball's going, you're not pitching in the big leagues. You're just not.
Yeah, there's some guys like that, you know, like Joe Boyle here in Oakland. And, you know, he's up and down and in the minors, and, you know, he's got to figure some things out. You know, Edward Cabrera on the Marlins, like, has a real hard time commanding things. And, you know, yes, he gets chances, but that's not the norm in baseball. I would say, you know, if there is an element of truth, here are some things that have changed. So the amount of sliders that we throw has changed. So since we started tracking this in 2008, you know, sliders were thrown 14.5% of the time. Now we throw them 22% of the time, and it's kind of rising every year. So that's a difference. So we throw more sliders, we throw fewer fastballs. Another thing that's changed is we throw more four-seam fastballs top of the zone. I looked at it, and the difference was over the course of the season, you know, something like 12,000 to 15,000 more balls at the top of the zone. That sounds like a lot, but, you know, we're talking about games and games and games and games and games. You know what I mean? That's like, you know, it's like a, you know, four or five more per game or whatever it is. But it's still a lot. And so 15,000 more balls high in the zone where it's harder to avoid the ball, right?
Like right.
You have more places to get hit. If it's low in the zone, you just jump over it, or, you know, there's two sticks down there, your legs, you know? So I think it's that, I think there's that. Then I have looked into, the free agent market, and I have Stuff Plus and Location Plus. And so I looked at how much every point of Stuff Plus was worth on the open market and how much every point of Location Plus was worth on the market. And teams are paying for stuff
sure.
over location. So to some extent, and that's because stuff is more consistent year to year and location comes and goes. So, you know, there are some truths in what he's saying, but it's not that everyone's rearing. Oh, and the last thing is pitchers are pitching closer to their maximum. So we used to have the league used to be about 3 miles per hour between your sitting velo on your fastball and your maximum, and now it's closer. It's like under two. So there's some truth to what they're saying, but it's not all just like, oh, these guys are all idiots that have no idea where the ball is going. It's not. That's not the truth. The truth is we throw higher in the zone, we throw harder, we throw closer to our maximum, and we value stuff. Those, all of those things together do add to more hit by pitches.
They do, absolutely. And that's Witt's point. As to Plesak's point, you know, when I was growing up, it was, oh, you never don't throw your fastball up. And if you're going to get it up, make sure you get it up. You want to work down in the zone. And I think all of the changes in pitching in the last 10 years, even the last 5 years, isn't it all just teams trying to be more economical and essentially be better, build better pitchers? And if I'm a GM, I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I'm probably paying for stuff. I absolutely would pay for a guy with ridiculous stuff over a guy that, well, Kyle Hendricks is a fun watch sometimes when he's on. When he's off, it's not great.
It's even easier to say that when you have Ruben Niebla.
Exactly, and you got Ruben Niebla that can teach a guy a new pitch shape and stuff. They act like baseball has done all this haphazardly, and they're just chasing guys that throw 100, when in reality, in my mind, I'm like, don't you guys see they want to build better pitchers and more effective pitchers?
Yeah. And, I mean, a big thing is that the batting average on a ball in play is year in, year out, over the course of history, about 300. And the batting average on a strikeout year in, year out, over the course of history is zero.
Right.
And
right.
So, you know, so
you take your chances with the stuff.
So you optimize for stuff and you go for that. And it clearly hasn't had an effect on walk rate. So we're not
right.
It's not like they're walking everybody. And so I think that's an argument for, like, the command has actually been fairly steady compared to where it was before. I mean, the thing that really happens is I watch a lot of Greg Maddux, and he missed his spots too. I don't
sure.
like people try to
romanticize
pretend like he never missed his spot. Yeah. And like, you know, and that was the guy that was the best at it in the history of baseball.
Correct.
So, you know, we remember when a guy misses his spot. You know, we remember when Suarez, like, throws a fastball to the wrong spot and gives up a homer, because that's a big moment, and that, you know, we have emotions attached to it. And that's I'm going to say the failure of the eye test, but that's the reason why the eye test doesn't work so well for me, is because we have emotions as human beings, and those emotions affect what we remember. And so your emotions affect, like, because I'm a psychology major, so, you know, emotions affect how much you remember something. So if you're just going to remember those big ones a lot and not remember, like, it's like the Derek Jeter thing. You're going to remember him running into the stands and getting that ball. You're going to remember the jump throws because they're exciting, and you got, and they won the game, or they got the out, and you're like, woo! And you're just not going to remember the singles that went past the diving Jeter.
Yeah.
Like, that's a meme at this point. But, like, you just don't remember those because they were kind of boring and banal, and they happened so often you didn't think about them. So that's sort of why the eye test can kind of fail you sometimes.
100%. Eno, you are brilliant. This was one of my favorite spots that you've ever done on our show, and you've done some great ones. Thank you so much. And if you're going to be out at Oracle, I'll be there tomorrow night. Maybe we can run into each other. If not, we will talk to you next week.
I will be there. I'll come. Where are you sitting?
I have no idea. My wife got the tickets for her birthday, so I'm just along for the ride. But I'll text you tomorrow when we're in there.
All right,
buddy.
Have
a good one. The great Eno Saris. Yeah, Paulie, it really sticks in my craw. And again, you know how much I love the game of baseball. And I for all my old head takes, all my old Kendrick Lamar takes, I'm getting roasted for that on the daily. When it comes to baseball, I love it. And yeah, is it imperfect? 100%. But to hear every analyst these days crap on the guys every single game makes me nuts.
Yeah.
You don't really hear it in other sports. You just don't.
Yeah.
And it's every single game. Thank you, Eno, for that. All right, we got a Rondo report coming up next. Excited about this. I'm embarrassed about one of the stories you're going to be doing about my beloved Fighting Irish. This actually embarrassed me.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you how to beat you. Coming up next.